Hello, 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 beautiful people, and welcome once again to another episode of the Green and White Podcast. That is right, the place to be seen and to be heard, the place, the podcast, and the platform for the people and by the people. As always, since the last time, I still remain Letlhogonolo Mosue, and I am so blessed and humbled to be with you, and I am joined by the terrible tornado.
Hi guys, it feels like forever, Tlhogi.
Right?
Yes, I'm Teho, and yeah, we're back, and we've missed you guys, so yes.
So good to have you, and we are joined today by two very lovely and wonderful ladies as we come to have a end of year reflection and discussion, and they will introduce themselves.
Hi, I'm Katlego Evelyn Qaba, and yeah, the fabulous one.
Hey, and then we also have
I'm Lesego Qaba. Just plain simple.
Just plain and simple. Okay, all right. We got you. Welcome, welcome. And we are so glad to have you with us. And of course, for those that may or may not know, Lesego and Katlego happen to serve alongside Lesego and myself in the Young People's and Children's Division. And that remains a singular honor and pleasure that we have to serve along them. So they are indeed brilliant, they are indeed bright, and they are indeed great, just like everyone who is listening. And so we have decided to have a conversation today as we reflect and wind down on this year about everything that has transpired in our lives, everything that we have gone through, more specifically in the context and understanding of the fact that it has been 670 million billion days since we were first on lockdown because of this pandemic, and there were so many things that we went through emotionally, physically, mentally, spiritually, financially, professionally, academically, I don't know which other early I'm forgetting, but yeah, it was all about all those things. And then on top of that, when we thought we had been through the most, or we had seen the worst of it in 2020, 2021 came along and was like, I'm still here, you ain't seen nothing yet. So we are here today to talk about the power or powerlessness of the pandemic, a reflection on all things that have happened in our lives since the pandemic started up until now, reflecting upon the things we've learned, the things we've lost, the things we've gained, the things that we are still learning and trying to determine in our own individual capacities as sons, as daughters, as partners, as colleagues, as friends, in whatever capacity of our life. Have we been left powerless, or have we been left powerful because of this pandemic? And so that is what we are here to do, just to have a good old casual conversation. So ladies, are you ready?
Ready.
Yeah, we're ready.
We are ready.
Wonderful. So sit back, relax, and let us have a conversation. And I want us to start the first part of this conversation as a reflection of where we've been. Like I said, it's been 675 billion, million, quadrillion days since this pandemic started. And at the beginning of this pandemic, we found ourselves having to deal with so many things. At first, it was this dealing of understanding, oh my goodness, we can't go anywhere. You literally need to stay in the confines of your home. And then after that, it's like, okay, well, you can't hug the people that you're used to hugging, and you can't see the people that you're used to seeing, and you know, you always have to now wear a mask, and you have to do this, and you have to do that. And yeah, we all felt like we could you know, pull our hair out, then obviously we were told that you can't go do this, you can't go do your hair, you can't go do your nails. And it was like, oh my goodness, we're going to be on Crustville 101 all day, every day. But here we are, 600 plus days later. And so the first question is, where were you at that first day when the President of the Republic of South Africa announced in March of 2020 that we are going under lockdown? Where were you at mentally, emotionally? What was going through your mind? What was going through your spirit at the time?
I was so excited. I don't want to lie to you.
Okay.
I know this is quite ironic. To be quite honest, I didn't think we would still be here today. No? I was excited because I was actually on an audit in Johannesburg at the time. And when they said we were going home, so I was just ecstatic. You know, I thought it meant time off work and, yeah, you know, free leave, you know. So I was genuinely excited simply because I didn't think this was going to be so bad and it was going to take people away from us and we were going to lose so much. The economy, yeah, was, you know, I genuinely did not see that. I just looked at free time. I'm going back home. I'm done working, you know, literally.
Holiday.
I don't want to lie to you. I was
excited. Holiday.
And that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Little did I know that, no, you are going to work when you get home. The first thing, you know, we didn't even take a week or a day or something. We were able to work from home, unfortunately. So when he announced it, we were all sitting in one room and we had heard rumors that, okay, no, there might be a shutdown, whatever. And because it had never really happened, it was like excitement. Yes, you know. So, yes, quite ironically, I was excited, guys. I don't know about you, ladies. Yeah.
I was very happy. Like, I concur with you. Like, oh my gosh. Like, I've always, I've always wanted to work from home. Like, I don't know. Like, it's always been a thing of mine. It's like, yeah, why do we need to, like, commute to work? And for me, that's just like an exhausting thought.
Yeah.
And so I think it's because weeks before there'd been like cases at work and people were like working from home. And I'm like, I also want to work from home. So like, guys, shut down. Like,
even me, I want to be in
me
paradise.
Too.
I want
me to too. Be in paradise. I don't want to be sick, but yeah, me too. And then when it finally happened, I was just like very excited because like, it was like, there was like a list of things I needed to watch on Netflix. That was the first thing. It's just like, there was just like a lot that, yeah, I needed to do that I know that during commute time, I could make up.
Yeah.
Because like, I spent so much time on the road.
True.
So for me, it was just like, thank the Lord. I was very happy.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Okay, in terms of him announcing, because he did the first announce that schools are closing.
Okay.
Oh, as a student, that was the best thing.
Yes, since, freedom is coming.
Oh, and I was, yes, writing the following day. So he closed the day before I was writing and I was like, yay, I'm not writing. And then I went home. I was like, okay, I'm not writing. I'm going home.
Yeah.
When he announced the 21 days, I'm like, no, I'm going to stay for 21 days. I left my, yeah, things at rest thinking, girls going back to resin like after 21 days.
Yeah.
Did I only know that I'm going to stay at home? But I was so happy. I was happy I was at home.
Yeah.
Because we didn't get straight into online learning because they still needed to
they
get their feet.
They still had to kind of find,
so we had
feet,
like a,
yes,
holiday. Nyana, yeah, there. So it was just nice. I was happy, more than happy. Not have school.
So fundamentally then we realized that there was a general feeling of euphoria, and that euphoria came from the essence of, okay, we're getting a reprieve from life. We're getting a sense of, you know, relaxation, a sense of, you know, ease for a little while. And certainly I think a number of us thought, ah, this thing will only last for 21 days and after 21 days we'll be fine and we'll be back to normal. Well, multiply that 21 by like 300 and, or like, you know, by like 150 or so on, and we're still in it and we've gotten so used to it in a way that you often think to yourself, when we do eventually see ourselves on the other side of this, How will it be? But then it brings me to my next question. And just before y'all ask and say, how did I feel? I was very indifferent. I was very, very indifferent because there was just a lot of things about a whole lot of uncertainty for me that came with this. And I was like, okay, fine, Sharp, I hear you. We're not going to do this, or we're not going to do that. Sharp, that's all good and well. A lot of catch-up time. But for me, there was a lot of, okay, are you like telling me that I can't go see my grandmother who literally lives 20 minutes away? I can't go see my partner. I can't go see my friend, you know, those kind of things. And so for me, in spite of all that euphoria, there was that sense of confusion and somewhat a hint of trepidation, because it was like, what's going to happen? And so then after that feeling, what then? Now we're dealing with the first 21 days. Remind you, add like 640 to that, or however long we've been. First 21 days, he's announced, you're at home, you're waking up, you're seeing your family, reminding yourself or remembering that these are people that you would see in the morning. In your case, because you address, you'd only see them every 3 months, if you wanted to, of course. But, you know, these are people that, okay, we see each other from Monday to Friday, we see each other in the morning. But because some of us are headed to school, some of us are headed to work, some of us are headed, you know, wherever at a very early time, we leave in the morning, then we see each other in the evening, and then it's in the evening, it's like, okay, let's have supper, let's eat, and then it's like, okay, let's go back to bed, and we repeat that cycle. So, first week, yeah, let's say instead of first day, but first day too, but first week of lockdown, where were you at? What did you wake up to do? What did you tell yourself you were going to do? And did you do it? Of course, we know the workaholic was working, but we'll get to you. We obviously know that you're probably crunching numbers and doing all those other things, but it's fine. It's okay. No judgment here. This is a safe space. But first week of lockdown, where were you at in terms of what were you doing and what was your routine and how did you ease into it?
Okay. Because for the longest time, I've lived with both my parents and my sister. So it wasn't unusual to waking up next to them, because I only spent like a month at res. So January, they were there.
Except you couldn't go anywhere. But
yeah. So it was like, it wasn't like an unusual thing. So it was just like, oh, waking up. Oh, you guys are still here. Hi. And it was just like,
by the way.
Yeah. It was just like waking up. And for me, it was, I'm going to sleep. This was my sleeping time.
Yeah.
They were like, oh, God was like, oh, my child, here is sleep. For me, it felt like that. So I feel like it was just sleeping. And okay, there was eating. A lot of eating went down during the lockdown. And nothing much. I think it was just like watching Netflix. Just chilling. It was just literally just a Netflix and chill, literally.
Yeah.
And just sleeping for the first week. When I was still easing into things, I was like, oh my gosh, this is so nice. Oh, let's walk through day. It was roses and daisies, I don't want to lie.
Uh-huh.
It was very nice. The first week, for me personally, I still say it was nice.
And the week after that?
I think the week after, when things were like, oh my gosh, I'm going to repeat the same thing, wake up, sleep. That's when it was just like, oh my gosh. It's now kind of, like, it wasn't boring, but it was like, waking up, sleeping. You're not even going out. Like, it's a thing of, when you don't want to go out by yourself, it's like, it's normal. Like, oh, I chose not to go out. Yeah, now you're told you don't. There's that urge of like, oh, I just want to go out, because now I'm told not to go out.
Yeah.
But it was just, it wasn't bad. I think the 21 days for me was aight. It was the extended
the that extension started being a
problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. All right.
Yeah. I think for me as well, it was very easy. I think I was very optimistic that after 21 days, we'll be out of here.
Yeah.
And so for me, it was like excitement that, okay, I get to work from home. I get to wake up a little later, you know? And because obviously in the industry that I was working in at the time, we were shut down.
like we were shut down.
Facts, like you had no use. Like
so, it was a thing of okay, admin in the morning. Oh, guys, let's just do admin, just so that you pass time, right? And after some time, because you've got the same, like you kind of like have the same mindset that you are at work, so you just like you overdo it.
Mm-hmm.
By the time Friday hits or whenever hits, you're just like, there's nothing to do now.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I enjoyed it, because I'm like, I'm eating joy. I'm at home.
Yes.
I'm not exactly working vigorously like in terms of everyone else in my department, because at the time I was working on like new innovations and new products. So guys, we weren't worried that after 21 days we have to launch.
Yeah.
Whereas like for like the mainstream part of our department, they had to keep on working. Like, okay, we're anticipating that, okay, after 21 days, what does this look like? And so I think for me, it was just like very easy. The only thing that really did annoy me is like the catch up meetings in the morning, because it's just like, nothing from my side. There's literally nothing on my side.
Yeah.
And you sit there and you listen and you're just like, guys, network, also like data, like, come on. Like, can I just say at the beginning of the meeting, nothing from my side, and then get off? I can sleep throughout the meeting.
Yeah.
And then wake up after the meeting and start working.
Yeah.
But then I think for me, 21 days, even 600 and whatever days, yo, I'm okay with, like, this. It's a perfect excuse, man. If you don't want to go anywhere, guys, pandemic.
That's right.
Guys, pandemic. Wait, can we? Pandemic.
Yeah.
We're in a pandemic, guys. Yeah. We're dealing with a lot.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether there are sick people when we get there. So for me, I'm still cool.
Still cool all this time later. And even though I know T's about to answer, I can tell you, oh no, started with an audit and then my day would start at 6 and then after that. But anyway, let me give you the right of reply.
Yeah, but that's exactly what I was going to say.
You see? You see? Multi-talented. You know? I'm gifted, guys.
But nothing changed. Actually, it was a lot for us, I think, because I think you worked even more than at the office. Because
yeah.
I think at the office, at 4 or 4:30 you leave, you know, and that's it. But now you're working even more because you can start working at any time in the morning and just keep working. So I think we even worked more. So it actually took a toll on us. It was really tough. I even went through a phase. I cut my hair. I think I genuinely got depressed. And it was unfortunate because I started my articles last year. So I only had like, what, a month of actual working at the office, so I was still relatively new. So we were alone on my, that was like my first big audit at the time when they announced the lockdown. So there was not a lot of coaching happening, you know. So they need to coach you how to use the system, you know, how to audit a client, how to speak to them, you know.
Yeah,
it was really, really tough. I genuinely went through a phase, and as excited as I was when it started, little did I know that it's coming with a lot of problems. So so it was no, it was not nice on my side.
You cut your hair?
I did. I told my dad, come cut my hair. Like, we went outside because I think I sort of saw for mokimata. So what I told myself was, okay, by the time I go back in public or whatever, they won't even notice that I actually cut my hair. I cut my hair. Like, I was really going through a lot. I cut my hair. Unfortunately, my dad's, what do you call that thingy?
The one
you used to cut your hair.
Mochini.
Yeah. It didn't want to work. So we took a scissor, like, we cut,
Oh, no.
It was
a chop. It felt so. It was a real chop, girl. I'm proud because, I mean, you know.
Oh,
but
hey.
Yeah. I went through, that's when I realized that something was wrong. And it was genuinely a lot. Yeah.
All right, there's something interesting about that, which we're going to come back to in a short while. But I'll tell y'all off the top of my head, I did absolutely nothing. And I am proud And I am unashamed of saying it. And for me,
I'm also proud
of you as well.
I did absolutely nothing. And here's the thing. You know, there was this fallacy that was brought about by this pandemic that if you don't have a new skill in the next 21 days, if you haven't been able to do this, that, and the other, then you, the problem is not time, the problem is you, or something like that. And
yeah,
it's a fallacy and it is absolute nonsense because, hey guys, our lives came to a standstill. So at no point in time was anything supposed to be productive or purposeful or normal, because what we knew and perceived to be normal was no longer there. So how are you going to come and tell me
the
problem is you? And come on, stay far away from me with that. But I absolutely did nothing for those 7 days. I'd wake up. Yes, no, there was the cooking and, you know, the making yamagwenya with my mom and, you know, the family and such. But as a general premise, absolutely nothing. And I think it was that notion of, you know what? You wear so many masks, so many hats. You bear so many weights upon your shoulder, 9 to 5, 12 to 12. 24/7, 12/52, 365, you know? And so there came this moment where I was like, and like, nah, dude, like, just be easy. And that's what I did. I just woke up and I did what I wanted to do. If I wanted to watch a movie, I'd watch it. I didn't want to. I mean, look, there was a whole array of things to watch on Netflix, but I wasn't even about that. Like, I remember 2020, everyone was like, oh, money heist. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I wasn't about that life. Was not about that life. And it just flowed. You know, needless to say, after like the first 7, 8, 9 days, that changed. But I enjoyed those first moments because I was like, you know what? Let me just be me, you know? Let me just deal with me. And so it then brings me to a new reflection. Familial relations. How did we navigate that? How did y'all deal with that? Because now, like I said, like I prefaced earlier, you only saw your family within a certain amount of time, even over a weekend. You know, for example, you know that a Saturday is filled with, okay, I've got this event or activity at church, or then I'm going to go see so-and-so, and then Sunday it's church, and then, you know, it's time for like idols on Sunday, perfect wedding, date my family, all of that, and then we go to bed, and then Monday starts and we see each other after 6, you know, once the sun has set and all of that. So familial relations, you know, how did y'all navigate all of that with one another? Because now, yes, these are people that you saw regularly because it's your family, it's people that you live with. But how did you now navigate, hey, we're in each other's space all the time. Like, you wake up, I'm there. You sleep, I'm there. You take a nap in the afternoon, I'm there. So how did you all navigate that? Were there any moments of tension then, even now? Okay, well, now things are a little bit more lax. But then and now, were the moments of tension, were the weird moments in terms of spacing, were the weird moments in terms of, all right, here I am, this is me. You know, how did you all navigate that space of familial relations and interactions now that, as you had rightfully said, Sekgo, now you don't have freedom of movement. Now you know that you are here, you are sitting, and this is what's going to happen. So how did you all navigate that?
I think, let me just say, in the beginning, it is very easy for me because I was just like, after 21 days, I'll see you people after 21 days. So it's fine. That was my opinion of that. But then also with the immediate people that I live with, I don't think they
is like a time where we're just like, I'm annoyed by you. But our house is fairly, I'd like to think, big enough for all of us. Where, yeah, in the sense that, for example, if I need to be doing my thing, I can do it. There's no restrictions.
Yeah.
My dad will be out the whole day outside. Like, that's what he did. Like, he, for him, that was just like, I think that's what he needed to do, be outside.
Yeah.
Between myself, my sister, and my mom, it was just like, oh, lay on the bed.
Bond.
And bond. And then, obviously, my laptop is there, just so in case if there's an email, I can respond.
Yeah.
But then also, you look at it and you're like, does it need an immediate response?
Yeah.
No, it doesn't. You must also, like, you know,
you need to get,
you need to train. Need to, yeah. You also need, yeah, to train your colleagues that response times can be like immediately.
Yeah.
It needs to be,
yeah,
at least 30 minutes, an hour. But then I think after the 21 days, now you're like, hey, hey guys, there's no Easter. As a church person, we're like, you guys, it was a lot. Because we're like, Easter is a funny time.
Yeah.
Even though it's a spiritual time, it's very, yeah, it's like very funny, like, you know, because like people who don't usually come to church will come to church,
mm-hmm,
and then they bring about the, like, their little things. They bring about their little things when, okay, they come to church. And I think after the 21 days, we're just like, oh my gosh, so we won't get this, we won't get this, we, mm-hmm, won't get that, we won't get this. But then I think with the people I'm used to, like, seeing outside of my immediate family, I was just like, guys, yo, I'll see you when the country opens, which the country has never opened. We're still here.
Yeah.
But then I don't think I was comfortable getting out because I'm such a, I don't know where you've been.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of person I am. I don't, yeah, know where you've been.
Yeah.
I know I've been okay.
Yeah.
But I don't know, yeah, where you've been.
Totally.
But then I think also at the time, I was hopeful. I was, mm-hmm, very hopeful. 2020, I was very, I think, hopeful.
We all were. Yeah. Certainly.
Yeah. And I think it was also the thing of, no, man, guys, let me just stay in the house. If I do my part, that means everyone else is doing their part. That's what I thought.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a thing, but, you know, no, not everyone's doing their part. But then I thought, that's what I thought. I was like, if I'm doing my part, that means everyone else is doing,
yeah,
their part.
Yeah.
And at the time in 2020, we had like an international trip coming along. So we're like, yo, like, you guys.
If we can just put it together,
like, you know,
1 + 1 = 2, yo, and then, yeah,
we're going, yeah, guys, yeah, don't worry. Like, we're here. Nothing. To me, Bani. Nothing.
Yeah.
So when that lay, I think that's when it just like also kicked in that, yo, we are, hey guys, things, like, are,
we are in it.
Like, we are in it.
Deep.
And I think at the time even, there hadn't been incredibly, like, there wasn't enough, not, I can't say enough loss, because I think there's been a lot of loss, but, yeah, I don't think that there were, I think the statistics were just numbers at the time for,
mm-hmm,
me.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was like at the back of my mind, oh, people are dying, but it wasn't so immediate where I'd be, mm, like, I know one of those people,
mm,
is this person.
Mm.
And so it was just fine for me. But I think, yeah, when the numbers started becoming names, I think that's when I felt like, no, guys, where's the remote? Let's shut this thing, yeah, down, because like whatever it is, if this is a game, let's stop, guys. I know, mm, this feels like Black Mirror, but like, okay, we're cool, we're enough. But I think 2020, because it was something I've always wanted to be at home.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it was like, oh my gosh, God, I prayed for this. I'm so happy. Thank you, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's just where I was at the time. 2021. Oh, I saw flames, guys. I saw flames. Yeah. I think for the first time, I was in a dark hole in 2021. Mm. And it happened over a season that I obviously don't like, winter.
Mm.
Guys, yo, I was... Yo...
I want to ask why you're hating on winter, but it's fine. That's a topic for another day. It's okay.
I just hate the cold. I think. Yeah, I think that's what it is. I think 2021 was a lot harder than 2020.
All right. Let me then dovetail on this. As we continue, because there's something quite profound that you said, and even though, you know, there might not have been, you know, clashes, you know, with your immediate family or, you know, learning one another, there's something quite interesting that comes from what you say, and it's this notion of loss. This notion of the numbers were there. And for the most part, you know, in March, it started with the people that went or the people that came back from Europe, you know, and it was like, who goes on vacation in January to Europe anyway? We all know, vacation time is December and so on and so forth. Then the numbers began to multiply. Okay. Then from that multiplication, then we started hearing of people who died. And they were still numbers, and it was sad because we didn't know much about this virus in the first place. Then came that moment where now it was just people, for lack of a better word, were dropping like flies. And be it as a result of the pandemic or other things, because death had now become such a commonplace thing, so sudden, so immediate, so unexpected, the numbers became names. Mm-hmm. And then obviously, because being a people of faith, the loss then came with a challenge to one's spirituality and faith, to be like, if you really do love us, why all this loss? If you really do care for us, why all this pain? And then on top of that, because as an African people, as Batwabantu, we believe in a ministry of presence. You know, if someone has lost someone, I need to be there. I need to comfort them. And then here I am being blocked because of this thing. In the midst of all of that, how did you deal with that challenge when the numbers became names, when loss became second nature, the same as breathing? What did that do, and how did this pandemic shift and shape your faith journey? Did you find yourself at any point in time like, you know what, I'm angry with you, you know, to the man upstairs, I'm angry with you, you know, and be like, you know what, God, I just don't understand? Or did your faith shake? Did it stay intact? Did it, you know?
In terms of like death and all that, I was one person, I just shut it. I don't know, I just sort of like shut it out. Like, because I was, especially when the numbers changed into names, I was back at res.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a thing of, I didn't have that, oh, I'm there with my family to experience this. I was with, I want to say strangers, but strangers per se, because we didn't know each other. Literally, we spent a month at res, and then we came back and it's like, hi, you know, type of vibe. So it was a thing of, there wasn't that, oh, now I get to fully experience the death, or I'm there with my family to see, oh my gosh, oh, this person is gone. So for me, I also didn't attend most of the COVID funerals. Mm-hmm. Okay, not even most, I didn't attend any. Like, I didn't attend any of the funerals. So it was a thing of, it was like, okay, you're at school, shut this thing because it's going to, someone will disturb you.
Yeah.
So it was just a thing of, okay. It would be the thing of, or the day you hear about it, it's like, oh, obviously sad. And then the day after, it's like, I'm like, I just shut it out. Then later, that's when it's like, oh my gosh, when you're sitting back and you're like, when these stats continue, like, oh my gosh, so and so is part of that stat. That's when it hit.
Mm.
Yeah.
And so it hit. And did you ever find yourself questioning your faith? Did you ever find yourself being like, and like, you know what? Like Kat said, and like, let's just switch off the remote, game over, it's not funny anymore. Or like,
at some point I would, like I did, but it's, there was this, I don't know, I got to a point where I'm like that saying, oh, if it's not this person, who?
Yeah, okay.
Like, if it, this person wasn't supposed to die, who was supposed to die?
True, okay, it makes sense.
Because, like, in, like, as biblical, it says we're on a journey.
Yeah.
Everyone is, like, it's destined to be.
Yeah.
So if not this person, who?
Yeah.
It got to that point where I'm just like, if not this person, who? Because it would be like, oh, why this person? And then I'm like, okay, give a replacement for that person then, if not that person.
Never thought of it that way, not gonna lie. Yes, there comes that moment where you're like, if not this person, who? But I've never thought of it in that way because, you know, for me, I have my own, you know, reservations and thoughts about death and just the immediateness thereof, and there's a whole lot that I have to deal with in that space, but I can understand from whence you're coming, you know, and it's a very practical question to be able to say there is, life is a temporal thing, it has a beginning and an end, so if not you, then who? Which then brings me to, having dealt with these, something that you had prefaced earlier, you cut your hair because you really felt like, okay, yeah, I'm in it, I'm really, really, really in it, and you said something so profound in the sense that you were able to say, I really felt and could sense that I was in a state or feeling of depression. So when you couple all these things, family, the roles, the continued productivity in your sense as well, you know, being sprung into this new environment, your own faith and your mental health, how did you tie those things? What was your mental health journey like in that space? Where were you at in that space, in that time? Because there was a time where you could tell, you know what, I'm not okay. So what happened when you reached that point, and how did you navigate from outside or out of that point?
It actually takes you quite some time to actually realize that something is wrong.
Yeah.
You know? Because I think you sort of, you learn how to live with the new arrangements or whatever the case is, and you think it's okay and everything is fine. But thankfully, I was able to see that no, something is wrong. And you talk about how did you get yourself out of a hole, out of that hole. But I feel like it's a work in process. You can never say, you know, it's, you know, I mean, we're still not living our normal lives. So, you know, you can only imagine. But it was a tough journey. I got to a point where I was really upset with the man upstairs because I didn't even speak to him anymore. You know, I remember at church, they really tried. We had like WhatsApp. They would send recordings every week just to ensure that, you know, we still sort of in church. We don't forget about church, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't even listen to them. I stopped downloading them. But I'd fall asleep while listening to it. Like, because honestly, I wouldn't be interested.
And
I just zoned out. You know, when you just zone out, it was not nice at all. A lot was happening. There was work, like I've mentioned. I realized with my relationships, because I saw, I was absent, man. I know we didn't meet physically with my friends, but I mean, that's not what should sustain a relationship, you know. I was very distant, and I was okay with that. I was okay with not reaching out. I was okay with people not reaching out to me. It was okay, and I thought about it. I'm like, but this is not you, you know. I had a fallout with one of my friends, and then I was okay with us not talking. I was like, ugh, the less people, the better, you know.
Yeah.
So then I knew there were certain things that was just like, I'm like, this is not you, you know.
Yeah.
So fortunately, when I realized, no, what, you're in trouble, I reached out to like a psychiatrist, and I was like, nah, you need help. So fortunately, I reached that point.
That is powerful. So so there fundamentally is in everyone's journey a sense of, you know, there's that tipping point moment. You had your tipping point, you had your tipping point, you had your tipping point. But the thing about the tipping point, you know, is that there needs to be, or there's, or anything really, there's a point of inflection, a point of, you know, where something is at its maximum heat or at its, you know, lowest temperature of coldness. And thereafter, there must be, you know, some level of transformation. There must be, there's another side. You know, there's as they proverbially say, there's the other light on the at the end of the tunnel. So what then would you say now? We've traversed through all these motions, all these emotions, all these things, and believe you me, there's still a whole lot more, you know, especially because we thought we had seen it all in 2020.
Yeah.
And then 2021 was like, hold up, let me just adjust myself. Y'all ain't seen nothing yet.
I am the girl.
I am. If you thought this was anything, I'm about to show you what's what.
True.
And it then became difficult. So obviously then we went through all of these things again, you know, especially because now it was harder, it was meaner, it was badder, it was, you know, every other thing that you could think of. And now, not only were the numbers becoming names in terms of loss, but now they looked like us. Mm-hmm. They used to sit next to us. They used to text and call us. They used to speak to us on a daily basis. You know, used to go out together, but life would then still want you to be able to go to the other side. So once you get to the peak, you have to, you know, go down the mountain and be able to climb another one. So with that, what would you say from the tipping point? Where would you say you're at now?
Oh, where am I now? Like, I feel like there's days where you're like, oh, I got this. I am safe. And there's days where it's just like, it hits and you're like, you're still in this.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like 2021 for me, I still can say I lived 4 years in 1 year. There was, after 4 months, a new thing happened.
Yeah.
After, like, it was just like, oh, we are going up the mountain. Oh, the sun is out. And it goes doof.
Yeah.
Then we go up again. And it was an up and downhill. Like, I feel like now as I speak now, I think I'm happy. Now I'm happy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to lie. Now I'm happy. I don't know why, but I'm just accepting and taking it in that I'm happy right now. But I feel like there's just like that uneasiness of this whole, like, the pandemic. You can be happy, but at the back of your mind, there's like, oh my gosh, this thing's not going away. Like, I thought, oh my gosh, you're going to stay indoors. You're going to conquer this thing. You're going to be, but it's still just like, I'm going to be here. So it's just like, I feel like emotions are like temporary. Like, yeah, it's just like, but now we're going to be happy. And then after that, it's just like, oh, let's remember. Let's go back home. Especially after curfew. It's like, oh, you went out. Now when you're back home, you're like, oh, we have a curfew because of this whole pandemic. Yeah, so I'm just okay.
You're just okay.
I don't know. I think I think where I'm at right now, I can honestly say that it's a weird feeling. Because when I think about it, and I think even just like engaging in this conversation, when we talk about loss, there are people where you're just like, you're like, even today, you don't believe they're still gone. And not because, I don't know, like, I'd like to always say, not that there's like a dying type, but you know,
Are people- totally, no. Honale wa tuba ileng hore ha ba tshwanele ke leave.
Yes, and you're just like, yeah. But like, how guys, when, how you,
really?
You did. And you? And I think because there's certain funerals that we obviously couldn't even attend.
Yeah.
There isn't that closure or that loop that's been closed that, okay, this person's gone.
Yeah.
And the people that we did go to their funerals, it's just like, what a cold funeral.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not sure if this is really a funeral.
Mm.
But also, at the back of my mind, at some point, I used to feel like I'm okay at this point if someone told me that everyone who's died is trapped on an island somewhere. Like,
like in Days of Our Lives. Yes. Yes.
Like Days of Our Lives when there was a Salem killer. I was like, I'm okay with that because I would be like, I've learned a lesson. It's fine, guys. Yo, lesson learned. I'll take it. I really won't even feel like, oh my gosh, how could you even play along? No, yeah. Thank you for coming back. But then I think with 2020, at the time, I think my prayers had been answered about wanting to stay at home, work from home, you know, just for me, it was almost like a restart, recharge, because we're always at church. We're involved in so many things. And you're just like, can I have a break?
Yeah.
And you got that break.
Yeah.
But then you get used to it and then you work really hard. And I think from a work point of view, working really hard messed us up. Because here we are trying to prove that, you guys, this thing of working from home can work.
Mm-hmm.
Yo, let's keep it. No, you know? And we worked extra. Like, I don't log in at 7 o'clock. Under normal circumstances, if there was never a pandemic, I got to work at like 9. 9:30 if I'm really being disrespectful. But like, it was a thing of, I know, 9:30. Like, kippy, that's the latest.
Yeah.
And when I got to work, it's do whatever you do. And I will still take my 1 hour, 15 minutes lunch. No, it's not going to disappear now because I got to work late. It's not my fault there was traffic.
Mm.
But I think when I was home, that 1 hour, 15 minutes disappeared.
Yeah.
Me getting to work only at 9:30 disappeared. It was, yo, Kat, you need to show them that even if in 21 days they're like, we're ending this thing, they could be like, okay, yeah, guys, work from home works for us. You guys are more productive.
Mm.
Which I think in turn is the reason why maybe 2021 was a lot harder for me.
Yeah.
Because I think when I hit my dark, like my dark place, I thought it was just anxiety.
Mm.
Like, okay, yo. Because on a Saturday, I'd be like, oh my gosh, did I do this? Did I do that? I used to literally work Sunday to Sunday,
mm-hmm.
which is it was unhealthy, you know, like, and it was really unhealthy. But then it was normal for me because I was like, I'm trying to make sure that when I get to work on Monday, I'm cool. But when I get to work on Monday, no, the things I was worried about, guys, what? Like, it really didn't matter, but I still did it.
Yeah.
And I think after some time, and I think it was because this winter, 2021 winter, was the time when we experienced a wave and a lot of people died.
Yeah.
It was even people very close to us died. And when that happened, I think that's when I realized that, no, Kat, you're not okay.
Mm.
You're not okay. Like, you are just, you're not yourself. You're not you. Like, I'm such a social person, even with the, like, social, okay, with the social distance, I'm just like, stay there. Please stay away. Like, stay a meter away. Give me space. Yeah. But, like, I'm such a social person where things like, I wasn't even doing my nails. I haven't had fake nails since
the beginning of this year,
mm-hmm.
which is scary.
Mm-hmm.
it's a scary thought, because if you look at any picture of mine, that's what you see. If you, I don't know, I was just like in a dark place, and I don't know, I wasn't okay. And I think because of that, that's the reason why I even resigned from work,
mm-hmm.
because I just couldn't take it. I was like, I think in comparison to 2020, I was able to, like, even with funerals that happened during the week, I could take time off, you know? And I think there was, like, a lot more understanding with that. But then I think there was just, like, a lot of loss this year compared to last year.
Yeah.
That it just felt like you're asking too much to go to a funeral.
Mm.
That's what it felt like.
Yeah.
And I think at the time when I resigned from work, we had just lost a friend. And it was just like, guys, I can't do it. I can't do it. Like, I haven't even taken a selfie. I'm a selfie person, guys. I take pictures with everything and everyone. And I'm just like, I haven't even taken a picture.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't. There's nothing. Like, there's nothing about me that seems normal. Like, I'm not me. So there's something wrong. And I decided to just resign without a plan. But there was a plan.
Mm-hmm.
But without a plan. And it that was the best decision for me to be where I'm at now. But I don't think that this pandemic 2021 was good for me, because it was just like, oh, it was horrific.
Mm.
And I think maybe even reflecting on it, I'm just like, I don't know how I got through it. But I think, I don't know if it's a faith thing, because I don't know if it was faith, because I think whenever I go through a dark time, I always I don't know if I talk to God. Like, when I think about it, do I really talk to God? And I don't know if I did enough. I think it was just a thing of cry when I'm supposed to pray. And then if God gets it, he gets it. But, like, I don't think I was, I can't say it was because I prayed myself out of it.
Mm.
It was a thing of I probably cried myself out of it. Yeah. And I think it still makes me cry when I think about it. But no, right now where I'm at now, I'm in a better place. Not 2020 great, but I'm in a better place.
Powerful.
From my side, I think we just had to get used to it, you know? It's almost 2 years now.
Yeah.
So you just had to get used to it, to be quite honest. I can't really say it got better. It didn't, but I just got used to it. You know, you get used to getting numbers of people dying, then it's increasing, you know, all of that. But the good thing that came out of it was it taught me to be grateful. You know, we took a lot of things for granted.
Yeah.
To be quite honest with you.
That's true.
We took a lot of people for granted. So I'm honestly so grateful for people. I'm honestly so grateful for the opportunities. I mean, people lost their jobs, you know.
True.
I see it with my friends and people I'm really close with, you know.
Yeah.
They're really, really going through a lot, you know, and I thought about it. And sometimes you can't exactly even speak to them, because even if I tell them about me going through a rough patch, they'd be like, but you have a job. At least you have a job. You know, if I had a job, I wouldn't be as depressed. At least I'd have something to give to my family. I'd have something to give to myself, you know. So I think more than anything, it genuinely taught me to be grateful. I know that it took a lot from us. It took our loved ones with, but I think we sort of had to come back. I think a lot of the times we had everything planned out, like Katleho mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
We had a trip planned, you know. So we have all these plans. You know, this year gets a 1, 2, and 3, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You forget to say, not my will, Lord, but yours, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like we had our lives planned out, and for the longest time, things have been working out exactly like we planned out. So you sort of forgot to remember who's actually in control, you know. So And I've also learned to cry out for help when you need to. Don't suffer in silence. You know, so you won't be superwoman or superman. It's okay. It's okay to not be okay. You know? So there are great lessons that I've learned from this pandemic, which I would have never learned probably if we had not been here. So I'm genuinely sorry for everyone who's lost their loved ones and who's lost their jobs and all of that. But I believe certain things had to happen. You know, it's unfortunate that they happened the way they did. But yeah, so that's me in terms of the pandemic.
All right. And to close it all off, powerless or powerful? Where has 2020 and 2021 left you? Powerless or powerful?
I will never say powerless. No, I will never say powerless.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of how I feel,
yeah.
I'll always say powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Not because I'm in a great place or I'm in a bad place, but it's just like what Seho just said now. It just taught us to appreciate, you know, the little things, you know. I think before this whole pandemic, I think maybe that's why maybe there's certain things we're very nonchalant about, because I think I had lost the person that I loved a lot before the pandemic.
Yeah.
And so when the pandemic happened, it was just like, wow, I can't believe that this person could die.
Mm-hmm.
Not so soon anyway. But looking back, I think everything happened for a reason. I don't think I'd be here recording this if I didn't resign. I don't think I would be where I'm at, where I'm like, I'm powerful because I took had I been powerless, I don't think I would have recognized that I'm not okay.
Yeah.
And so it's things like that where if I can recognize that, oh, today Kat is not well, or today Kat is well, or today Kat, even if you just do nothing, as long as you exist, and being able to recognize that,
yeah,
I think that's powerful in itself. And I think the fact that here I am, and I still think, even with whatever's happened or whatever, I still want to love. I think that that is power in itself. I'm not in a position where I'm like, oh, now I really want to die because there's nothing to live for.
Yeah,
I think there's so much to live for, even in this pandemic. It's just in a different way or form. But I think the fact that I can recognize this, you know, I think self-awareness, the fact that there is self-awareness, I think that's why I say I'll always be powerful. Even if you ask me, like in July, I think I'd still say powerful because I recognize that, okay, Kat is not okay now, or Kat is okay today.
I would say powerful. And I feel like the situation left a lot of people powerless, but I think we still conquered through everything. Like, I feel like with the deaths, I think a lot of people went through some mental health things. This pandemic was just like shifting to the mind.
Yeah.
But it still was a thing of us being aware of the situation.
Yeah.
And I think with everything, I think this left us with a lot of lessons. Like being grateful for life, appreciating people. So it's just like there was a lot of powerful things that came out from this dark moment. So powerful.
Alrighty.
From my side, I think it's a bit of both, and it's okay. Because I think when you are powerless, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay. It comes, sometimes you feel powerless, and it's absolutely fine. Sometimes you feel powerful, and it's absolutely okay. You are able to distinguish between the two, and you're able to do something about it.
Yeah.
So when I am feeling powerful, I try to maintain that, And when I'm not, I at least acknowledge it and I try to get to a level where I feel powerful, you know? It's a phase, like I said previously, it's a work in process and it's absolutely okay. And to everyone who's feeling powerless, it is okay.
Yeah.
I think it's great that you acknowledge that you are feeling powerless, because the moment you acknowledge something and the moment that you at least realize it, then you are able to do something about it, you know?
Yeah.
In the end, we also speak like Timothy, where we say, we fought a good fight, you know?
It's a
fight that we're fighting. Let's keep on fighting a good fight. It's okay. Powerful, powerless, it's fine. Keep fighting a good fight. So from my end, it's a work in process. But in the end, I know it'll get there. So, yeah.
And that in and of itself, even if you were at any point in time feeling powerless, certainly should give you the boost and the charge that you need to have. And I think the greatest lesson that we learn from everything that you have all have shared is that power, powerlessness, that sense of being, all those things are derived from that sense of fragility of the human condition. You know, we are fragile creatures by nature, and it is from weakness, we are told, it has been written that it is from weakness, not despite of weakness, where we discover not only the true possibility of our strength, but the true possibility of our joy, the true possibility of just how much we're made of. And as we reflect and wind down on this year, and as we look forward to this coming year, no matter where we may be thrown, whatever happens will happen, but there will be a good story to be told afterward, because we do know and understand that even in our most dark and turbulent and trying times, we find that ability, because it is a birthright by its nature. It is bound to happen. It is bound to be of us that we will find the strength, we will find the joy, and we will find that peace that will allow us to go on to the other side. And as we close it down, all we can say is this, as we transition into this new year, that the new dawn blooms as we free it, for there is always light if only we are brave enough to see it, if only we are brave enough to be it. So continue to be the light, continue to be powerful, even when you're depleted, because when you do all of that, you will find it in yourself to be that all over again. Until next time, everybody, be kind to one another, stay safe, stay brilliant, know that you have a purpose, know and understand that you were called for greater, to be greater, but just most importantly, spread love and joy and be kind to one another. Ladies, you have been amazing. You have been exceptional, and it remains a great honor and privilege to be with you. Until we meet again, this is us from the Green and White Soapbox signing out. Be kind to one another. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.